Gang, we all know Spotify is the best, most popular music streaming app. They have millions of songs by millions of artists available at your fingertips. But did you know that aside from millions of songs, Spotify now has thousands of podcasts? That's right, all of your favorites, Fresh Air, This Song, WTF, and of course, How Did I Get Here? Yeah, that's right, we're on Spotify. Go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's Spotify. Millions of songs, now thousands of podcasts. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather. I'll tell you about that in a second. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I had a good weekend. Up to a certain point, I had a good weekend. Friday night, I played with Skyrocket at a dude's 70th birthday here in Austin. It was very cool. It was a good party. It was at this place that used to be Hickory Hollow on Congress. Now it's an event space. Anyway, it used to be Hickory Hollow, and I ate a lot of hamburgers there in the 90s, and it was interesting being there now that it's been transformed into something else. Once again, one of those weird things about Austin as it changes and the old turns into the new. You know what I mean? It's like the old new places. Anyway, played that party. It was a good time. A lady fell down and revealed her private parts to us. She felt she was squatting down. Okay, let me go back. It's this dude's party, right? Party started around 8. I believe this lady went to a happy hour beforehand. When we started playing, she was there. She was in the zone. She was like someone that had had about 5 cocktails and was going to do something that someone was going to get mad at her for later that night. She was doing a lot of different dance moves, a lot of flirtatious, pretending to sing along with whoever was singing at the time, and like singing the wrong words. And like kind of like, you know, kind of acting out whatever she thinks the song is, but as this kind of like sassy lady in like a shorter dress. Anyway, she went to do this dance move halfway through the first set where she squatted down and another lady bumped into her, knocked her over. She fell down, legs straight up, legs opened, private parts exposed. And it was shocking, but very entertaining. You know, when you're in a band and you've been doing it for so long and you play these parties, sometimes things like that are the thing that everybody talks about, you know, backstage after the show. Oh, how about that? How about that lady? Anyway, so Saturday we went to San Antonio and played at Sam's. That was a good show. Good crowd. Very energetic. Very appreciative crowd. Always good there at Sam's. I always have a good time playing there. Anyway, that show was good. Then Sunday, I just worked on podcast stuff all day and kind of did stuff around the house, played a little music, and went to sleep about 11 or 12 on Sunday night. Woke up at 2 in the morning, sweating profusely, like just sweating like the end of the world and feeling like, oh God, I'm going to throw up. So I go to the bathroom, I throw up, and it turns into this thing that just goes on. And keeps on going, you know, like every hour, you got to do something. It's either throwing up or the other thing, which is horrible as well. Sweating every time you go do it with this massive sweating, and then you're real hot, and then you're real cold, and then your skin all hurts. I don't know if I had the flu. I don't know if it lasts 24 hours or what. So I was going through that. I was supposed to do a bunch of, I was supposed to record some podcasts for TuneCore. I record some of their Music Made Me podcasts here at my studio. And I had to cancel those, had to cancel another podcast with Rob Baird. But luckily, my friend Amy Lombardi from TuneCore, I told her, man, I'm sick. This is going on. I'm just violently ill. And this was like at 8 in the morning. So at that point, it had been 6 hours of this stuff. So finally, she was like, man, do you need anything? And I was like, can you bring me some Emitrol? Guys, if you're ever thrown up violently, drink some Emitrol. It stops the whole thing. Anyway, I really was like sick from 2 until about 11 a.m. Then I still had some other issues as the day went on, but I just slept all day. Today I feel a little under the weather. I feel a little worn out. My stomach muscles are really sore, like I had done 800 sit-ups or something. But anyway, hopefully this week I'll get it all back together, start getting my, we rescheduled all the podcasts we have to do, so that's good. Everything's taken care of. I just lost one whole day to sleeping, sweating, and moaning, and kind of being super-duper delirious. I'm a little more together today. I am. And I have a great show for you guys today. Guess who's back? Michaela Beth Kahn and Jordan James Burchell from Beth James, or better known as Beth James, are back. They have a brand new EP that comes out this Friday. It's called Falling. Drops this Friday, February 1st, and they're celebrating with a release show Friday, February 1st at Cactus Cafe. Aaron Ivey opens the show. Absolutely fantastic artist, Aaron Ivey. And Beth James, this EP is absolutely fantastic. I love it. I love all the three tunes on it are absolutely gorgeous. It was produced by Justin Douglas at King Electric Studios. And you can find them at BethJamesBand.com. You might remember that they were on the show, I think, back in either like August or September or something last summer. And their song Lionize was in the Spike Lee joint, Black Klansman. And so we talk a little bit more about that. We catch up. Hey, what happens now that it's on video or streaming or whatever the hell it's on? Does that turn into a whole new thing for you or what happens? Anyway, great conversation with Beth James. Also, they reveal that they have gotten engaged. It was a very nice surprise just a couple weeks ago. So anyway, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Michaela Beth Kahn and Jordan James Burchell, better known as Beth James. Let's get down.
This picture keeps getting blurry. Maybe it's the booze or all the bad that's on the news tonight. I'm trying every day to figure shit out.
Yeah,
but I'm still a little lost on where to start.
You're doing great.
Check, check. One, two. What is this?
What is this, Mike? So you guys were in California?
Yeah.
Yeah, and New York City.
In New York. Yeah.
Yeah. You were promoting the EP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell me what you did.
Oh, we
should have
brought
play?
You one.
In. Yeah, what the...
Oh, shit.
What kind of... I noticed that shit is in the first two songs on the EP.
Yeah. It is.
Two-thirds of your
EP... Our favorite
EP
swear word,
have
I guess.
...explicit lyrics.
I know.
But when we were looking it up...
My mom was very upset.
We were looking it up, trying to decide, like, oh, do we need to get the explicit marking on it? And then we were like, well, it's not that bad. And
we didn't.
They
do
can
it.
Say shit on TV now. So
they can. I mean,
yeah,
regular TV.
I think so on regular
no,
TV.
I don't think they're doing it on the ABC and
okay,
NBC
maybe on
and
ABC,
stuff
ABC.
Like that.
Yeah, actually.
Well, then we're rebels.
I listened to a podcast that said they can't say GD.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh?
On TV.
I like that on the podcast. You're like GD
slash D.
Yeah, G slash D. It's a big thing. So, where did you play in New York? You played at several shows up in the North. Three.
Yeah.
Play in Jersey.
Yeah.
Where?
At a really cool house concert. What was that? A Cozy Cabin?
Cozy Cabin concert. Oh, nice. Yeah, it was a really fun house show.
It was really cool. It was cool. She, the next person who's about to play is Terry Reed. Do you know who Terry Reed is?
Why do I know that name?
Terry Reed got asked to be in Led Zeppelin in the 60s.
In the beginning.
In the beginning. And he said he didn't want to do it, and he recommended Robert Plant.
Wow. Wow,
suck?
What a different world we would live
yeah.
in.
Yeah, I know.
It sucks for him.
Yeah.
What could have turned out so different, too?
But yeah, that was a really cool show. It was like a house concert. It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And then where'd you play in New York?
Rockwood Music Hall.
Nice.
And we played a So Far Sound show.
Oh, nice. What Rockwood did you play?
We played one.
What's that? That's the room with the piano in it?
Yes.
And then the little bar next
little
door?
Little stage.
Yeah.
Okay,
bar,
that's the one I've played.
Yeah. It's cozy in there.
Piano takes up the whole stage.
The piano does take up the
whole
stage.
Yeah, it's really great though.
It was
cool
though.
Which one of you guys plays piano on that? On is it
me.
Falling? You.
That's me, yeah.
All right. You're really good.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
All three songs are great. I heard the Wasted on Sundays. We talked about that before.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Stance Against Brunch.
Yeah. Yep.
And brunchers.
I still feel that way.
And the mentality brunch. So so Rockwood went well?
Yeah, it was cool. Uh-huh. Actually, this tour, every show was packed.
Yeah, it was
That's great.
Felt awesome. Because it sucks. Nice when that it happens. Sucks going out and no one's there.
Yeah.
Every show is really packed.
It does suck when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it happens
too much sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sucks.
So, so did you fly to LA then?
Yeah.
Okay. And how did that go?
It was great. Where'd you play there? Time.
Hotel Cafe.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And I love Hotel Cafe.
I've never been or played there, but I know a lot of people that do.
You should go play there.
Yeah.
The Marco guy, he's great. Yeah. You should definitely
see the booking guy?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Marco guy.
The Marco guy.
I need to find the Marco guy. Who did you play with there? Did you play with any LA guys? Was it your show or?
It's actually a really close friend of ours. She was just on.
This is the Voice.
Yeah, she was on the Voice.
Yeah. And she just moved to LA. Yeah. To LA. So we had a show or we had a bill with her.
All right. You guys weren't on the Voice.
No.
Okay.
No.
Nope.
There's so many voice people now.
It's the whole music industry.
Town's crawling,
I guess,
with voice people.
Voice people.
So how far did she get in the Voice?
She got like 3 rounds in, I think, the knockout rounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel like that was either of you guys? Was that an option in your mind?
Option? We have auditioned before.
Yeah, we've auditioned for this
together.
We may again.
Yeah, together.
You and made it in.
We may. I said we may again.
We may again. We may again.
I don't know.
I did when I was in high school. I auditioned for you were at the thing.
I know.
Not in high school, like sophomore year of college. I auditioned for this thing, and I was totally not right for it. The X Factor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think last time we talked about how I when I was 16 auditioned for American Idol.
I didn't even remember that.
I went to his audition. Wait, because
we I made it. I met like Simon Cowell and all those people. I was a terrible fit. Like, because I just wanted to like.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
Did you do your own song? Were you one of those guys?
No, I should have. They didn't let me do that.
I like that. Those are go for broke guys, because I'm always like, mm-hmm. even if their song's terrible, I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah, cool. Exactly.
Hell yeah, dude. Go mm-hmm. out fighting.
Yeah.
Awesome. And
also, you just played your song on national television.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Millions of people.
Yeah.
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 That was weird.
So what happened?
I didn't make it.
Well, I know, but what did they tell you stuff? What did they say? What were you missing?
My thing was
he
like
he was missing the X Factor. Didn't have it.
I sang. Remember that song by Rihanna?
Umbrella.
Umbrella.
And
I did it like my own version of it.
Yeah.
And
Fever.
And I sang Fever, which is a terrible call.
But you had like so a cool arrangement.
Yeah, but they were both like interesting arrangements. It wasn't just like I'm singing.
Right.
But the L.A. Reid was one of the people.
Oh yeah,
and
he's cool.
He had produced. Umbrella.
Oh, really? What?
So he was, and like my thing was not at all that. It was very kind of like rocky, folky thing,
uh-huh.
and he was not feeling it.
Oh, he wasn't.
But the girl,
it's like, what have you done to my song?
I don't even know her name, but she was on Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, really?
Nicole
Stirringer.
I don't know.
Or something.
She loved me. She wanted me on. She was like, "You're perfect. This is great.
You have the X Factor."
Yeah, you have the X Factor, but it didn't work out.
I'm sorry, man.
It's okay. I'm heartbroken about it.
What does it feel like when you're standing in front of those people? Are there like cameras all around you and stuff?
I remember when that show didn't last very long in America. I don't think.
Yeah.
But like,
I remember the name. I don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah, and like Simon was there. That was cool. And he was like, "Yeah, I really like you, but there's already 2 no's," and I would just. But it was weird, like. I wasn't really nervous, but they made me like go in like a corner and be like, "Hey, you need to act nervous, so, like bite your fingernails and like walk around, and pretend to warm up." Yeah,
you're like, "But I'm fine."
And the craziest is when you didn't make it, they took you in a room and it was all like curtains.
Yeah,
and then they would they had a camera and they were asking questions like, "How does it feel to fail? How does it feel? How does it feel to not be wanted on the X Factor?" And I really messed up, and the whole time I was like. And I was at jazz school, too. It was so dumb. And I was like, I just don't think this is very artistic.
You said that?
Yeah, I was like, I don't think this is good for me. I don't know why I did this.
I don't think this is very
This is not artistic. That's really what I said, and they were really pissed. And
sure they were, man.
Yeah.
It's not like they don't know that.
Yeah, they know.
They can fool a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, you know how, like, don't you have family members that are like, "Oh, so what do you think of David on The Voice?" And you're like, I don't fucking watch it. Like, what's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Like, that's a stupid... Are you crazy?
But if they ask me about The Bachelor, that's right. Another story. I will talk all about The Bachelor.
Yeah, they asked me about Shark Tank.
I love Shark Tank. Yeah. Have I told you my Mark Cuban story?
No.
Oh, I have a great Mark Cuban story. Sorry, I'm just, like, storytelling.
Yeah, no, I like this. It's just a podcast where people tell stories.
Yeah, that's true. So, and if Mark Cuban's listening to this, I love you, Mark.
Huge fan of the show.
Yeah, of course. You should go to Shark Tank.
Always playing in his plane.
So when I was like a little kid, my dad was a jazz band director. So he had like a jazz band rehearsal and he had a little computer in his office. I was probably like 11, maybe younger, maybe 8. And I'm still a huge like Dallas Mavericks basketball fan. Okay. Like huge.
And he owns them.
Yeah. So I looked, that's good to say because people probably don't know.
Some people might not know.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm so into that world. But I emailed him. There was like a little link on the Mavs website. Where it's like, email the owner. So I emailed him and I was like, I'm a huge fan. I was like a little kid, so it was really cute. And he emailed me back and was like, hey, I really want you and your family to come to a game. So he got like his people to talk to my family. We got tickets to the game. We're like crazy. We're up in like the nosebleeds. And then right before the game, like this whole group of like Mavs people came up and like, you're the fan of the game. And we got to sit courtside next to Mark Cuban.
Ah. It was they amazing. Put you up in the nosebleeds as a total setup.
Total setup. Yeah, jeez. Total.
They're like, we're going to make these people's day.
I would never think of doing stuff like that.
In the nosebleeds. And we were brilliant. And I was a kid, so I was like, this is awesome. I heard my parents like, I can't believe we're like, Mark Cuban's a billionaire. Yeah. And we're up here in the...
Yeah, owns the team. It doubled how special. Oh, we're going to the game. He's such a nice guy. And then it was like, oh, he's bringing us down courtside.
Yeah.
He's a god.
The craziest thing, though, we actually kept up, like, an online, like, friendship till I was, like, 18. And I would send him, like, my report card. And if I made all A's and B's, he would give me free tickets.
That's crazy.
Fucking awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is a great thing to
what
know.
What a great guy.
It's nice to know that a guy like that is nice.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a nice guy on the show. He's my favorite guy.
My favorite guy, too. Yeah, and sometimes people, like, talk bad about him. He is a great human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had great relationship with him. Yeah.
Didn't you? And you said that sometimes you would go to the games or like see him around Dallas or something, and he would recognize you and be like, "Oh, hey, Jordan, yeah. How's it going?"
One time we went to a game, and I actually won fan of the game. Like, not even he didn't set it up, and my parents were like, "You should go talk to Mark because I'm sure he set this up." So I went up.
Talk to Mark.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that nuts? So I went up and talked to him. I was like, "Hey, Mark, it's me, Jordan." He's like, "I know who you are," and I was like, "Thank you so much for setting up fan of the game." He's like, "I didn't set this shit up. You're a lucky son of a bitch."
He cusses like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It was awesome.
That's amazing.
That's probably where we learned that word from, right?
Yeah, from Mark Cuban.
Yeah, that is amazing. Hey, has anything happened with Lion Eyes? And since it's come out on DVD, since the movie's come out on DVD?
Oh, something cool happened the other day.
Oh, what happened? On an airplane.
So we were flying to L.A. No, we were flying home from L.A. And we were looking at the movies, trying to figure out what to watch. And BlacKkKlansman was on there. So we watched BlacKkKlansman on the plane, and we replayed the scene like 8 times.
Yeah. That's rad.
It was so cool.
Kayla was so embarrassing. The girl who was, I had the middle seat, which I hate, but the girl next to me was watching BlacKkKlansman.
I saw.
And she's like, oh my gosh, hey, we have a song in this
And the
movie.
Girl was like, what are you talking about?
Embarrassing. It was funny.
That happened to me at the airport one time. When I came in, it was early in the morning, and I was like getting coffee, and all of a sudden I was like, like I'm looking around and I like tap the lady behind me. I'm like, that's me. She goes, good.
Cool. Yeah. Whatever. Like, yeah. Did you have to tell somebody?
It's 7 a.m, dude. Like, I don't care.
That's when we always hear our song playing at like 6 a.m. too at the airport.
Yeah.
Shout out awesome. Austin Airport. We love you.
Austin Airport's the best.
See, at least you guys are together and you go, yeah. Hey, it's us.
I know.
I had to like find a stranger and be like, right?
Yeah.
In the school, yeah.
It starts singing along.
Yeah.
They're like, don't talk to me. It's too early.
No, it's way too early. Yeah. I saw you guys went with the Juice Consulting, obviously. That's how you ended up. Were they working with you last time?
No.
No.
Was that just us doing that?
Yes.
Together?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, someone introduced us.
Ariel.
Yeah.
Ariel Leggett.
I'm playing with her tonight.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she's doing a Monday thing at the Townsend.
Mm-hmm. And Kalu's opening up tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight?
Go ahead over there.
Oh, that sounds
great. And we're playing on the next Monday.
Yeah, we are.
Next Monday the 28th?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah. You guys have a big release show Friday, February 1st at the Cactus Cafe.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
I'm super excited.
It's our first time playing there, and we've always wanted to.
You guys are friends with Erin Ivey?
Yes.
What is she doing?
She's opening the show.
No, I know she's opening the show.
Oh, what's she doing?
I know she's not working for
Black Fret
anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I heard.
No, she's. Yeah, she told me she wasn't after the award show. She I think that was her last thing with them. Well, and I'm not sure what she's doing.
She's been with them for a couple of years, right?
I think so.
No, I just meant musically. Like, what's going on?
Oh, she's just recorded a new album, I believe.
She did?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Good.
So I don't know if she'll be playing songs from that or not. Yeah. But I know she just got out of the studio.
Oh,
but she used to listen to Erin Ivey in high school.
I did.
You did?
I didn't realize that I did. But then I can't remember what I was like.
The Chocolate song.
Yeah. I used to listen to her album 11th Floor something. I forget the name. And the song Chocolate. It must have been like her single or something. And I this was back in the day when I think I was on like Kazam. No, not Kazam. Yeah, Kazam. That sort of like the Napster. Or whatever, looking up songs. Okay. I think I must have found it on that. And I used to love that song. And I loved that album. And I just didn't make the connection that was her.
Right.
Until a couple weeks ago. And then, I don't know how I found it again, but I did. And I realized it was her. And I was like, Erin, I'm like a huge fan of your music. And from back in the day, so crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you live here?
No, I lived in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
And obviously never met her until moved here. And yeah, it's just so funny that I didn't even realize that was her, but I was like, I think that name does sound from it. It was just weird.
She was in this weird dry cleaner commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I mean, she doesn't talk about it very much anymore because I bet it drives her nuts.
Mm.
But it was a really catchy song, and she was like singing it and like in the commercial.
And she was like in the commercial too.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Erin, I wonder, made its way to me.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was that song.
No,
No.
That song was literally like the...
The dryer song.
Take me to Reed's. It was for Reed's dry cleaners. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that funny?
That's really cool.
So this EP you did with Justin Douglas. Yes.
Yeah.
Is he the guy that did the last one or no?
Yes.
Yeah, he is?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no. He did Waste on Sundays. The last EP we did with a guy named Brian Douglas Phillips. You know Brian?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
He's a really great great engineer and a really great pedal steel player.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so where does Justin Douglas come from? Who is that?
He has a studio called King Electric Studios up north. I can't remember how he found him. Maybe somebody recommended him. I don't remember.
He plays everything. But do you know Mike St. Clair? Mike is a really good friend of ours, and he plays in our, and when we have full band, he's like playing keyboard, trumpet,
all the things.
He's amazing.
That's awesome.
He's played like White Denim for a little bit, and the Polyphonics 3. He's awesome.
Yeah.
But we asked him like where he thought good studios were, and he recommended Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Justin was like a perfect fit.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
It sounds great. Who played that bowed like double bass thing? Is that Chilla?
That's one of my best
double bass. Yeah.
Double bass. It's one of our best friends from North Texas, and I actually live with him, Daniel Barr.
Yeah.
Excellent.
He's a fantastic bass player, human.
Yeah, he's
that's
great.
Awesome
combination.
Who else played on it?
Jeff Olson,
drummer.
You know Jeff. Mm-mm. He's a really great drummer. He has his own band called
Food Group.
Food Group.
Mm-hmm. And plays in a bunch of stuff too.
Yeah.
Did anybody else play in? I think it was just us five. And then Justin played some pedal steel.
Yeah, Justin played pedal steel. He's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you record this all when you recorded Wasted on Sundays?
Yes.
Okay.
And we recorded another one, but it just wasn't like what we wanted, so we just threw it away.
What was it about that didn't make the cut?
I don't know. It just didn't.
I feel
didn't
like
feel right.
I feel know. Like it was on me. I feel like it wasn't the right tempo. It just didn't feel right, you know?
We'll save it for something.
We're going to save it for the next thing. But it just didn't feel... Like, I actually really liked the song.
Yeah.
The song is good. It just didn't, like... I don't know. It just wasn't...
You know, like, sometimes the recording would just turn out magical, and sometimes it just kind of, like, falls flat on the recording. I mean, not because of really anybody, but...
No, just it does.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, we just didn't feel it for that one, so we thought we'd save it for something else.
Yeah.
We felt it for the others.
It's funny because there's not so much. There used to be so much of a, before you went to make a record, like 20, 25 years ago, you would you would probably do a demo in your house, then you'd do a demo somehow in a thing, and sometimes you'd end up recording it like three times before you'd get to the final thing. Yeah. So a lot of times you could set it up and avoid those pitfalls where like, oh, maybe this should have been, it could be even just that it wasn't fast enough or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. So tell me about what happened dealing with all of the disappointments, confusions, and struggles of the last year.
Oh, yeah.
Were these personal confusions?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Did it get personal?
I know. Well,
Both my parents actually last year got diagnosed with cancer.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
It's all good. They're doing really awesome.
Same week.
Yeah. They actually just were in town, and my mom's doing great and like hasn't had any reoccurrences, and just like she did all the radiation and everything, and she's doing great. She's back at work, really killing it, and she's in great spirits.
That's great.
And then my dad, he's still having to do a lot of like treatment and stuff, but he's doing really good, and he's positive, and he's awesome.
Oh yeah, they're like the most positive people you could ever meet.
Yeah,
it's just so crazy that that happened to them at the same time.
Yeah, it was kind of a crappy week, and it's funny too because like I guess I wasn't old enough. I should know this, but like I just didn't realize what was going on. Like my mom told me she got diagnosed, and my dad really didn't say anything. And then I went back up to visit my mom, and my dad was like, "Oh, will you drive me to the oncologist?" And I feel so dumb. I didn't really even know what
an oncologist was.
Yeah,
unless you have to deal with it, why would you know what it is?
Exactly.
No one goes around saying oncologist all the time.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, when that was going on, I was just like, this is weird. And then he basically told me that it was just crappy.
Yeah.
But
I had some stuff, too. My dad also had been going through cancer. He's good now. He's all good now. But that, at the same time, was happening. And my parents also went through a divorce this past year.
Jesus.
After, like almost 40 years of marriage. So it was a really interesting year.
Yeah.
But also then, you know, on the plus side, we had the whole Black Klansman thing happen. So it was just like a lot of like a big emotional year.
And I don't want to get super political, but the whole Trump thing is not cool.
It's not sitting well with you.
It's not sitting. And don't love it.
And my dad hung up on me on the phone and didn't respond to hey, man, you know, sometimes people just have a difference of opinion. I love you. Didn't respond.
Yeah.
Friday. You know what he said? I was going to go host that fucking AMF thing. You know what he said? Well, you go introduce bands. You're probably good at that. And hung up at me. I mean, I was like, fuck you, man, dad. And it's because of that. It's not because of that. I mean, my dad obviously has some serious problems, but that sucks.
Yeah.
It does suck.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sorry that I'm talking about this, but I feel like my mom's a teacher, and so she teaches like sixth grade kids, and they're, you know, who are we supposed to look up to, you know, as a kid? The president, you know, like the president. And so these kids are treating my mom like shit. Why are they treating her bad? Because when they go and watch the news with their parents, they have a child up there just saying a bunch of nonsense. Mm-hmm. He can make fun of whoever he wants. It's just, yeah. Sorry, we're done. I won't talk about
it
anymore.
I think it's interesting.
Is this Kayla? Is he banned from doing this? Because he keeps doing apologizing.
No, he's not banned.
Like, when we go on these podcasts, man, don't start
say a thing.
I just get super heated about this.
You know what? We all do, because the thing is our hands are tied.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's like, it's like that scene in A Clockwork Orange where we're like strapped to a thing and they've got our eyelids open and they're just showing us it all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we can't like look away. We can't blink.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was trying to think this weekend how to get away from some of it. Like, how
Turn
do
off
I get away?
The internet.
Go on a hike.
Yeah.
And not bring your
nature
phone.
I mean, like, get away from it until like,
oh, like really good.
November something.
No, I don't know about
2020.
That. If you figure that out, let me know.
I can't. It's 24/7 nonsense.
It is. It's a lot.
But there is a silver lining with this. So have you heard of Space Force, the TV show?
No.
Oh, apparently, now this Steve is good. Carell. This is the one thing I do like about Trump. He made this dumb Space Force.
So he decided, right? Space Force is happening. And then saw an ad on Netflix the other day or something that they're coming out with a show. Steve Carell and the writers of The Office are making a show called Space Force about Space Force.
One thing good that came out of the president.
And I'm so excited for that.
We're big Office fans. Yeah.
You know, I looked into Space Force. I'm not a fan of this guy by any means, okay? I looked into Space Force. It's not his idea.
That's his name.
It's a thing, and it's a pretty good idea.
It's a great idea.
It's, like, it's still just a funny name, I think.
It seems like what he thinks it is, it's stupid. You know, like he thinks it's something different than like a...
than it really is.
Like, I'm sure there's a lot of like when they're explaining it to him, like, pew, 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 pew. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Great.
No, Space Force is a great idea because I'm sure other countries are also...
Oh, yeah, probably.
There's going to probably be warfare in space at some point.
That guy fed like our... some of our nation's best athletes hamburgers from McDonald's the other day.
Really?
As a treat for winning, being the greatest football team in all of America, college football team.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
They gave out like 1,000 hamburgers.
I know.
Fucking weirdo. It's so weird.
It just sucks.
And then there's all these people without jobs. Hey, did you guys fly during the TSA, relax TSA situation? Where they're laughing and like, oh, hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Maybe they were really friendly.
They actually were really friendly, man,
There's times when I'm like, hey, is this an airport where you take off your shoes? You take off your shoes! Like, that's how it normally is. And like, hey, man, just like... And like, I swear to God, I went to Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago and flying there and flying back, I was like... Hey, man. Hey, Dave, did you see that thing the other day? Oh, no, that's all right. Just going through. Just relaxed guys, like, hey, I'm here. That's enough, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I showed up today.
Thank me. Later, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was pleasant. And actually, it wasn't so bad. There weren't, like, a lot of lines or anything. It's not bad.
That's true. Well,
I don't know. This whole thing's just weird. It's a weird time, and everything's gotten weirder. And so we're stuck there. But let's get back to your record.
Yeah, sure.
So that was all the trauma. How did you guys hold up during that time?
Well, we wrote some music and...
Yeah, we wrote some music. And I mean, I'm kind of a spiritual person. And so I think God works in really cool ways. And I feel like the Black Klansman thing was great. And I feel like it was great for my parents as well. Because it was something they could really they were proud, you know. And great for your parents too. I mean...
Yeah.
You know, just like little victories. I think that's not just, you know, whatever. I think it's a complete thing that was supposed to happen. So we held up good, but it was kind of hard. But there were victories this year too. And hey, we got engaged.
Yeah,
congratulations, by the way. I did see that on the internet. Wasn't that just like around Christmas time or something?
It was like last week.
Last week.
Oh. In New York.
Christmas. Wow, so how did that go down? Can you tell the story?
Yeah, we had just flown to New York. We were walking to dinner, like, the first night that we were there. And we went to go hang out in Washington Square Park, which is one of our favorite spots when we're in New York. We love the Village and hanging out in that spot. So we just sat on a park bench and we're talking, and Jordan was being really weird. And like, it was weird. I was trying to, like, hold a conversation, and he was just being weird. And and then I figured out why a minute later, and he got down on one knee and asked me, and it was so sweet.
Oh, you got down on the knee?
Yeah.
I did.
Look at that.
Full on.
Awesome.
And there was not really anybody at the park. It was pretty cold and late in the evening, so it was really nice. We had a moment together. And
it wasn't like some homeless dude popped out from behind a bush.
No.
And said, say yes. He's really cute.
That would be awesome.
But there was. We were walking afterwards, and we saw this weird pigeon homeless man who was literally, like, conducting pigeons.
That was weird.
All the pigeons. He would be like, hey, guys, come here. And all the pigeons in the park, like, hundreds of pigeons would just, like, swarm onto him. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was weird. That was right after that, wasn't it? No. It's not going to be remembered as the pigeon guy. Yeah. That sucks.
No, but it was really lovely and romantic.
Well, congratulations. What did you guys do afterwards? Like, would you guys, like, go to eat or something?
We did go to eat.
Where? Somewhere good?
Yeah, we did. We try to save up on these tours. We try to save up money and go to, like, one nice meal.
Yeah.
And we went to Momofuku.
In New York City.
Have you ever seen, like, Ugly Delicious on Netflix?
No, I've not watched it, but I've seen it.
Oh, you gotta watch
it.
It's so good.
It's really good.
It's from there?
Yeah, it's the guy who created that show. It's his restaurant thing. It was good.
It was really good.
That's awesome.
It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, but it was good.
That's good. That's a good review, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid review.
I would go, but don't get your hopes up. It's not the best food in the world, but it was good. I'd go again.
So, so when are you guys getting married? Do you have a date?
No.
You don't? Next year, probably.
Next year, probably. Yeah.
2020?
2020, yeah.
Okay.
2020 vision.
Have a year of settling down. Weren't you guys? No, it wasn't you guys that were getting a house.
No.
That was Don and Hawks. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I heard they...
they were getting a house. Yeah.
Did they build a house?
Some kind of thing like that. Oh, like they qualified for some kind of thing and got a house.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Where do you guys live?
I live with...
Oh, you guys don't live together?
We don't live together.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah.
But we both live down south.
You ever wonder if that would work? I have a friend named Amanda who lives in L.A., and one day we were talking, and we were just like, man, we should just get married. Because, I mean, I really love her. She loves me.
Yeah.
Aww. You know, whatever. We wouldn't have to deal with the daily grind of another person in your face. Some people are good with that. Apparently, I don't think I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think, like, maybe a relationship works with... Because I know that some people, when they get older... They sleep in different rooms because it's just like, man, that guy wakes up
snoring, at like 3
in the morning. Yeah, watches TV. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's what happens. True. And also, I was going to ask you, Kayla. I know that this is weird, but like my parents were divorced before I remember being a person. So that was always a thing. But I've always thought it was really weird when someone that's not like 11's parents get divorced. You know what I mean?
It was weird, honestly. So I was very surprised.
They call you and like, hey, check it out. Listen.
Yeah. I guess it must be kind of the same as when you're a kid. You know, sit you down.
What did you react? What was your reaction?
Well, I mean, it was in a way good as an adult because I have, you know, a full spectrum of, I know what their lives are like. I know what they're like as people. And, you know, I was around throughout their marriage and have experienced life as an adult, and I know what it's like to be in relationships, not what it's like to be married, but
that's true,
you know. And as a kid, I don't think you have that kind of a grasp. So I mean, my perspective is just, if it's going to be better for them, I want them to do it. You know, they don't have to stay together for the kids because we're all grown, we're all out. It's their life, you know. They're going to finish it, and I want them to finish it in the way that they want. So
that's good. So there wasn't like a... Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have two brothers.
I'm sure there was calls immediately.
Oh yeah,
like, to each other, like, oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, no, it was very weird. I mean, it was still like a big shake in our family.
Sure.
And still, yeah, it's just kind of strange to wrap my head around still. But
it's so weird.
Yeah, just because, you know, that's how we grew up and everything. All our memories are together and everything. But I am happy. I think in the end, it's going to make them both happier. So that's what I want for him.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is I've actually been hearing from a lot of people that they've gone through the same thing, like later in life, the parents getting divorced in their 60s, that it's not, I mean, I had never heard about that before, but I think it's happening kind of more and more, which is sad. Yeah.
I think in our minds, and I mean, I'm closer to 60 than I am to your age, but I think in my mind, you're just like, well, shit, man, you did it this long.
Yeah, why not just keep, that's how I felt.
That's how I feel too. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess things change.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you guys, do you work things out very well together? Like when there's a difference?
Yeah. Oh, when we disagree on something?
Yeah. When you disagree on something, have you set up this pattern of like,
that's a good question.
Honestly,
healthy.
Yeah.
Fighting. Healthy arguing. Healthy.
I just feel like we've only been dating like 4 years. But we've known each other for so long. I don't know why. And we were friends for so long before. It just like, when we do argue, I love Kayla. And I mean, even on big arguments and like all the stuff that's going on in life, like,
yeah,
if we have an argument, it's going to be all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least we don't, I mean, not to be morbid, at least we don't have like a disease that's going to kill us. And like,
yeah.
We get another day hanging out.
Absolutely. I think that's what I've learned the most from going through all this stuff this year is that, number one, you don't know what can happen anytime. You can plan as much as you want for your life, but you don't know what's really, you know, going to throw you a curveball. So I think just living how you want to live now and being grateful for the people who are around you now and, you know, trying to be happy as much as you can. And yeah. But I also think, you know, even if we have a disagreement or whatever, we're fighting, like, the trust is there. I know you're not going to walk out on me. I'm not going to walk out on you. It's going to be cool in the end, and it's just natural.
That's how it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say that as a single guy in my apartment. like I know. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I totally know what you mean.
I guess you kind of do know after a while. So what does 2019 hold for you guys? Mm. You're releasing this record February 1st.
Yes.
This EP. Sorry. Wow. Oh. That was a lot of them.
You're so popular. It's
like something's going on. Now, you know what I did? If you don't mind taking a side thing real fast, yeah. We'll get back to 2019.
I would love to take a side
thing. I found... I've been wondering what happened to Yngwie Malmsteen. He's this crazy Austrian guitar player, like just crazy fucking, like one of those guys with the hair from the 80s and all stuff. And I'm always like, man, what happened to Yngwie? Well, I found where he was a couple months ago. He played a guitar instrumental version of the entirety of Bohemian Rhapsody with Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme, Zach Wilde from Ozzy, and Steve Vai.
Guitar gods.
That's guitar amazing. Gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it crazy?
Yeah. So anyway, I sent it to some friends, so I'm getting a lot
of response.
This is amazing! Like, they're like, not in support of, hey, do this more, but hey, do this more because it's super funny.
Yeah, no, exactly. No,
I know
it's really
mean to say. I have some friends that are, like, I have a super shredder friend that I was just with last week doing stuff. A guy that even plays in Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh wow. Right on.
Yeah. He goes so far as to do, but he he always gets mad at me for, like, my immediate laughter. Like,
yeah.
Even just the name sometimes, Yngwie Malmsteen, just makes, like, I'll just bust out laughing. Have you ever seen the guy with the two... Next.
I haven't seen two next.
Michael
man.
Allen. Wait. Michelangelo Batio. Batio or something. B-A-T-I-O.
Okay.
He does this.
He has
a guitar with two necks going out different ways, and he's just...
Double
he's
shred.
Just doing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane.
So you know, what I does, heard... Oh, sorry. I want to have one more tangent.
Okay, yeah, please.
Because I read this article on Facebook the other day that I thought was so cool. So the Stradivarius violins and instruments are just getting so old that, you know, they're going to die out soon. And in order to preserve the sound and to make sure that future generations can hear what a Stradivarius instrument sounds like, they're shutting down the whole city that builds these instruments. I forget what the city is. It's in Italy. It's like a little city, and they've been building these forever. And they're shutting down the whole city because they're recording all the possible sounds you can make on a Stradivarius violin so that they can then, you know, load it into Logic or whatever,
right.
And you can write to it. People can record it and listen to it later in life.
Right.
Before they die out. But so it's like a two-month program or project in order to get all these different sounds and combinations of notes and all these things. And it's like surrounded – the studio is surrounded by all these like cobblestone roads and everything. And they were noticing – that even the little sound of cars driving by outside would be picked up by the mics. So they have this like whole town on quiet lockdown for like 3 months while they record
three
this.
3 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. I think that's amazing.
That's sad. When did they start? Do you remember? Was it 1700s? Is that
sort
of the oldest ones are from?
Probably something like that.
Because I had a question about this because I didn't read the article, but she told me about it. But the top, like the violin one players in all of the symphonies, so a lot of them have Stradivarius. So what? I'm curious why they're doing it. I'm just curious in this city.
Oh, why are they doing it in that?
Yeah,
city?
And are those violins dying? The ones that
I think.
The,
well, I think because they're all so old, I mean, and they don't know how to replicate that anymore.
Yeah.
So I think eventually, and they're just looking to the future of like when all these instruments do die off. How are we going to have this sound? Like,
yeah,
we want to keep this somehow.
It's cool.
It's so special.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You think they'd also like, can't they, I guess, are they made of like rosewood or something? Like one of those new illegal woods?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Huh.
They're made from magic.
They're made from magic.
Just like Yngwie. He was made from
just
magic.
Just like Yngwie. He has no parents. He just like popped up one day fully formed with leather
with
pants
hair.
And his hair. I'm Yngwie, baby, and I'm here to melt your faces.
I've heard he's a jerk, though.
I have too.
Yeah.
I've heard really nasty stories about him, but I think they're made up. I've heard nasty stories about some rock stars sometimes that people have told me where you're like, That's just not true. You're just totally disparaging a person for no reason.
I bet so. And like
there have been only not, there are a couple I believe, but the Ingbe one that I heard was like so mean, and like kind of so over the top.
And yeah. I feel like part of it's jealousy, because like given like I would love to do some of the stuff Ingbe can do. I don't want to be that kind of guitar player. I'd rather be like Bill Frisell or something. But like. I'd love to play like Ingvae. I'm sure there's a lot of jealousy in those stories.
There's jealousy you know? in mine too, because when in a time when that was a thing, I mean that was a thing like when I was a kid, and the thing is like you could either, like there was no girls hanging out with the dudes that were shredding in their garage. It was a bunch of dudes with a bunch of dudes watching them, just being dudes.
Yeah.
And then like if you played like Duran Duran music, and did like. And, you know, wore like a, you know, sleeveless shirt.
And that's where the girls were at.
Yeah. And then that was. I did. I remember being like being at my friend Kevin Daniels' house and just being like, yeah, no, this is.
We got to rethink this.
This is stupid. Like, why would even want to do this? I mean, I was also like 14, but
yeah.
I mean, I do remember being like, no, this is not cool.
Very self-aware at a young age.
Well, I knew the path to meet the ladies was not your version of the Crazy Train solo.
Wonderwall probably hadn't been written yet, too.
No, not at all. No, if you
that could, never fails.
Yeah, if you could do a Save a Prayer by Duran Duran, you know that song?
Yeah,
it's kind of their ballad from the 80s. If you could do that, then the world was yours, my friend. The world was yours. So 2019.
Yeah.
2019.
Excited.
Beth James.
Yeah.
You guys going to do some more touring?
Yeah, I think we want to. We're going to set some more stuff up, definitely with the new record. Also, we're always looking to the next thing. So we just start putting this out, and we're always already thinking about, you know, what we're going to record next.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that'll be a big part of 2019 too, writing. And
in this summer, like we always go up to Seattle, and we actually teach a songwriting camp up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And then we tour like around Seattle and like Portland up the Northwest.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And I think we're going to go to Montana this summer too.
Yeah. So we've got a couple
spots.
Hasn't
been confirmed, but
that we're going to hit.
Montana hit.
So let us know, podcast listeners, where we should go.
Yeah, podcast listeners, tell them about the Northwest.
Yeah, and
America.
I think we've been talking more about it, and like, it seems like more and more opportunities come when we go to these places like New York and LA and Nashville. We've been talking about trying to like hit one of those cities or the surrounding area more, like maybe like
more frequently. Yeah,
yeah, maybe like. Once every 2 months, or if we could make it happen like once a month and just try to do, you know.
Yeah, it's cool if you can make it happen like that, because I believe I've never lived in Nashville, I've never lived in New York, but I've been in Los Angeles for like 5 months.
How was that?
Yeah, how was it? I bet you met a lot of people and stuff happened.
Meet a lot of people and a lot of stuff happened.
Exactly.
Cool. That's great.
But there's also ways that you can go and do that stuff and not live that lifestyle.
That's exactly what we're trying to think. Because, you know, come back from New York, you're on this New York high, you're like, everything's awesome, maybe we should move here.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, I don't want to spend $1 billion on rent, you know, and to live in a tiny shoebox. And I love New York so much, but I love Austin.
Yeah.
I want to live in Austin.
Yeah, I feel like...
There's a way to do it. I mean, there is a way to do it. It's just a matter of, like, you know, being able to have enough money to fly there, have some friends that'll put you up whenever you go there. You
exactly.
Know.
We're going to try to do that more.
Yeah.
And, like, being both self-employed, I mean, it is nice that this can be tax write-off, you know?
Yep.
Instead of having to pay the government, we could try to, like, promote ourselves and try to meet people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get inspired too. Going to big music cities like that, so inspiring. There's so much. I mean,
it's very
inspiring here too, but just different energy and
You
know, just different setting. I think is really nice.
Those cities have a different pace, and there's a different level of business going on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely different than here. That I personally, like a lot of people do get like, oh, Austin needs more like labels, and they tried to do that in the 90s. Like labels moved here, and they had offices here, like BMG. Arista, they had regional reps here, but those places actually had offices, and like there was an Arista Austin label.
Cool, I didn't know that.
What happened? The thing
is, it just doesn't work. This is like the town where you play.
Yeah.
And you write and you work out. It's almost not like it's a farm league town, but it's a place where you're working on your stuff without, once a year for a couple weeks, there might be a label guy walking into your show out of the blue. But otherwise, you have the freedom to figure out who Beth James is.
Yeah, it's
you
like know a safe what I mean? Space.
That's what I love about it. You can have those
shows
here.
Where you play your shitty songs and you're like, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
But if you do that there and someone sees you and someone says like, oh, I'm going to go see Beth James. Oh, don't go see them. I saw them a couple years ago. They suck.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a different level of like, here you can work on your shit. And I think that that's pretty great.
That
it's
is
awesome.
It's awesome, yeah.
Like, I really don't, want to leave Austin, no. You know. I'd love to, like, make roots here.
Sure.
But yeah, you're right. The other cities, it's moving a little faster. And
I'm so used to, I think, Texas pace, too, just living-wise.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And then I think I might be too stressed out in New York or something.
And I love so playing. Like, I get to play, like, 5-6 nights a week. Not Beth James, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
just musical.
Yeah. Time.
It's beautiful.
Which, what you, like, that, doing that, I know whatever it is that you're doing, what you bring back, whatever experience you gain from that, you can put into Beth James and just make it better.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is also, like, New York, do you guys know Elias Hasslinger and Amy Achley?
That sounds so familiar, but I don't
think
so.
He's the saxophone.
Sax guy, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's really great.
They moved to New York in the late 90s. And, like, they just couldn't play because they worked all the time.
Yeah.
And then their commute was such that, like, they left their house at, like, 7 a.m. and they got home at, like, 8 p.m.
Ugh.
Every day.
I'd be so late.
And it was just like, what am I going to go fucking travel another hour and a half to rehearse with some people and travel? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I got to work in the morning. And so it really did bum them out. They moved back, you know. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's 6 in 1, half dozen the other. I at one point, I did want to live in New York, but I thought I was going to have a lot of money. I was going to have a lot more money at the time. And so I thought, like, oh, yeah, I'll live here. But when I realized that wasn't happening, I was like, oh, no, I'm not moving there. That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's where we're at, too. If we had a lot, I mean, if I had $10 million, I would.
Oh, in a second. I'd be there.
Yeah. If I was rich, that's the first place I'd move.
Oh, it'd be so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't even have to live in a rich area. I would just have to just be. I mean, I probably couldn't. If I was rich, what rich is to me,
yeah.
I would still be a poor dude there.
I mean, that's why I said 10 million. I mean, yeah. 500,000 is rich to me, but 10, I feel like, I don't, yeah.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah. But you can fly there and you can play shows.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing. And you guys, I mean, the cool thing is that you really are like self-contained.
Yeah, we just go out as a duo and, you know, we can just play that way, which is nice.
And I actually, I mean, I love playing with a full band, but it is fun playing just the two of us because it's just more intimate and, like, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just different. I like both, but it's nice to be able to go out. I think we kill
it, too, at the duo thing, just when it's you and me.
Yeah, I love doing that.
But we do want to, in 2019, like, we always talk about this, but, like, just do, like, some Texas runs, like, with our band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm from DFW and...
Yeah.
We play there sometimes, but...
Do you guys play... Where do you play up there? Opening Bell?
We did Dan Silverleaf a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's
Isn't
a
that
great...
in Denton?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Harvest House also in Denton?
Harvest House in Denton.
I don't think we have... Denton. I've played at Opening Bell, and you have separately, I think, like, before we started Beth James, but we don't think we've played there as Beth James. We should. That place is great.
You totally should. That's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Who all are you playing with?
I play with Alicia.
All right.
I play with Ariel.
Uh-huh.
I play sometimes with Tamika.
Okay.
Sometimes, I love her. By the way, she's just
so you got an R&B.
She's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Is that jazz background that gets you into that R&B situation?
I don't know.
Those guys use expensive chords.
Yeah,
the R&B guys, they totally do. It's not G, D, E.
No.
Expensive chords. I love that.
I love that. I've never heard that. That's really good.
Yeah.
time consuming chords and
no, they're good. Yeah. I think it's nice.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, growing up, I was always playing jazz because my dad was, like, really obsessed with jazz, and he's a great jazz guitar player. But I also love, like, I love R&B. And she's a great R&B singer, too, but we just don't really do that anymore.
I
play guitar with a lot of people, but...
It's so funny. Like, you play with two of the sassiest...
I know.
...singers I know. And then, like... I mean, from what I can tell from you, Kayla, you're really laid back, and Ariel's super laid back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Ariel. She's amazing.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's a really, really...
There's something like otherworldly about... Or other time... You know what I mean? It's always like 1937 or something when you see her. You're like, oh.
I think it's half the hair and then half the tude.
Yeah.
I agree.
I feel like... I mean, we always talk about it. Like, you know how some people just like... They're an artist. Like,
yeah. Oh, she is. Yeah.
They just like... You don't even have to hear their music. It's just like their music is them. It's not like, what kind of music do you play? It's just like, it's her thing.
Yeah.
I always tell her this too. She just has that.
Yeah.
It's just like her.
The X factor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean though?
She does. Whatever you'd hear her do, if you were walking by one of these apartments and she was playing in the room like acoustic, mm-hmm. you'd be like, Ariel.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. There's like a tone to her voice. There's like everything. Yeah.
No, she's cool.
A unique artist.
Yeah, I really like
you guys. All are, and congratulations! This EP is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys did a great job. People can find this EP Falling on February 1st. Go to BethJamesBand.com. It'll be in all the places where you find the music, and you can hear Wasted on Sundays now.
Blurry as well. There's one Blurry more out well? There actually.
Oh, really?
Uh huh.
So Falling is the only one that's...
It's the
that's
only one. Okay. We're just leaving one little taste
Congratulations.
Left.
Sorry, I didn't look up. How is Lion Eyes getting a lot of play?
Because of the still climbing.
Still climbing? We're like at like almost 80,000 on Spotify, which
that's
is
awesome,
it's big
man.
For us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
Dude, that's big.
I
mean, that's
so.
Just big. That's a lot. That means 80,000 people.
It's crazy.
Your song's been listened to 80,000 times. That's a lot.
Yeah. It's
no
awesome.
No matter how you slice
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's cool to look and see where people are listening from, too. It's like London or Beijing, like all these crazy places.
It really is all over the world. Hopefully we get another round of it if it wins an Academy Award. Hopefully another round of
it. Awesome.
Wins.
For an Academy Award?
Tomorrow they announce.
Oh, tomorrow they do?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did they, what happened with, was it up for any Golden Globes?
Yeah, it was up for 4 Golden Globes.
Really?
Didn't win any.
Yep. Pretty bummed out. I'm sad for Spike too. I hope he wins something.
Yeah, I'm actually just sad for him. He should win something, you know.
You guys should win.
Thanks.
That would change everything.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on getting engaged.
Thank you.
Congratulations on Falling. People can find you guys at BethJamesBand.com. Get out to the Cactus Cafe if you live in Austin Friday, February 1st.
Yeah.
And February 1st, you can hear the whole EP. Wasted on Sundays, Blurry, Falling, and Falling is the name of the EP.
Yep.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you, Johnny.
You too. It's fun to chat.
Michaela Kahn and Jordan Burchill, better known as Beth James, their EP, Falling, drops February 1st, and they're celebrating with an EP release show Friday, February 1st at the Cactus Cafe with special guest Aaron Ivey. Go to BethJamesBand.com for all of your Beth James needs. I want to congratulate them on getting engaged. Congratulations on releasing an EP. Congratulations on getting through a tough year. Great people, man. I really enjoy talking to them, and they're great, great musicians. Incredibly talented couple. Beth James. Check out their new EP, Falling, drops February 1st. Don't forget, gang, when you're out there checking out BethJamesBand.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, iTunes, Android Podcasts, anywhere. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday with me sitting here talking to you like a fool. All right, I hope you have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Let's hear the rest of this song, Blurry. From Beth James, from their new EP, Falling, dropping February 1st. Yeah, baby, you gotta do it. Have a great day. Let's get down.
Drifting in and out of view like giant red balloons. I remember when you looked at me and said, can we talk about the demons in my body spreading all around? I used to believe when I was young I could fix anything. Take your aching heart and tie it with string. And now I think that I'll just be traveling around, playing music to a crowd of no one.